Lord of Righteousness. That's the title of this lecture. You'll all remember that not too long ago we did the fourth vial. We found out that didn't happen coming out of Egypt. That's one of the only vials that didn't have a matchup coming out of Egypt. Why? Well, it's not coming out of Egypt, it's us coming out of this situation. So we learn from that. What did it have to do with? The sun. It had a lot to do with the sun. And I hope you've been noticing a couple of months ago, we had some sun flares, fantastic explosions. As a matter of fact, Shepherd's Chapel lost a satellite out of the deal. And it's so bad right now that we're kind of limping along, because if we lose one more, you see, you can't get a guarantee from a company to have 24 hours a day. If we lose one more, we almost go back to 12 hours a day or something like that. I'm just letting you know that, not to worry about it, because we'll move somewhere else and get by. But it's a serious situation. So if the fourth is different in what brings us out of it, then you need to go back to the third vial and look it over and maybe get a little fix on where we are right now. This is from the Holy Spirit, so pay close attention. Now, seals, what are they? Trumps, what are they? And vials, what are they? Seals are knowledge. Okay. Trumps are action. And vials are simply the wrath of God. They happen bang, 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 bang. They don't run along for hundreds of years like some of the others do. So we're in them. So you want to take a real close look at the third seal. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, pick it up with verse 4. And what does it say? And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be. There's a time sequence there. Listen to it. Because thou hast judged thus. Now, what does Revelation chapter 17, 15 say? It says the waters are the people. Now, if this is poured out on the people, then who is this angel of the waters? It's important. And you all know who the angel of the people are. It's Michael. Okay. So you can just mark it down. The angel of the people is Michael, who is like God. Okay. And don't forget what he said there. It's important. Verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous, same song, are thy judgments. But now, wait a minute. What is this? What does it mean, another? Well, what's the subject? Michael the archangel. So what's the other? It's another angel. Well, who is the angel of the altar? It's important. You need to know. Let's document it. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Anytime you see these angels, something big is afoot. Okay, something wonderful is happening. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. Gabriel being translated means man of God. Okay. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show thee these glad tidings. Who stands before God at the altar? Who is the angel of the altar? Gabriel. So what you have in this third vial is both Michael and Gabriel. And what is to say, keep repeating the same thing? Well, back up to chapter 15. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb is very important to you at this time. Saying, what are the words of the song of the Lamb? Well, let's read them. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. This word just here is dikaios, which is the same word translated as righteous. Lord of righteousness, that is the song of the Lamb. And that's the same song that both Michael and Gabriel repeated in that third vial. And so it is. And you see, well, what were they doing? They're singing those. They'd already overcome the beast. And you know something? Those that have the seal of God in their forehead that know the false Christ is coming, they've overcome him also, because we have power over him. And so it is. You must remember also, what does Michael do in chapter 12, verse 6 and 7? He and his angels, Gabriel and the others, they kick Satan out right back down to this earth. And that's going to happen, but what this is saying, you want to get ready. And you want to learn what he has to say here concerning this third vial. It is extremely important. Now, I had mentioned the fact that the seals and the trumps and the vials, it becomes very important that you need to know, inasmuch as the seals are educational, what did that third seal say? That's important now that you know this. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, and find out. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Some scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil or the wine. This is famine. Okay. You'd work a whole day for one little piece of bread. He said, it's going to be, but what, if you're a student of God's Word and you've ever read Amos chapter 8, verse 11, what's the famine for in these end days? The Word of God, to hear the Word of God. You're not hearing it. Don't harm what? The oil or the wine? Why? The oil is the oil of our people. What does Christ mean? It means the anointed one, the oil. Okay. And what does wine? His blood. Say that you do not. You can do anything, but keep the Word of God pure. And teach it. And don't let a bunch of quacks, false prophets, run off with deceiving our people without making a stand for that is true. Now, if the third seal has something to do with now, surely the third trump must also. It must be very important for right now. So, not to say it had these, the seals happen is a thing of learning, but it consummates God's wrath. That's when it comes to an end. So turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. What was that third trump? The third trump. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. That's the people. It's going to hit them smacko. How many were deceived in the first earth age and followed Satan? A third. Verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. That's bitterness. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. A third part of the people became bitter. And many men died of the waters, a spiritual death, lied to, deceived, led astray, because they were made bitter. And again, Here you have all three of them lined up. Remember what the Song of the Lamb said. The Lord our righteousness. He is righteous. What does that mean? It means he's not going to do anything but what is right, fair, and equitable. If you don't believe that, you're in a heap of trouble, friend. That means your faith has just about run out the bottom. He will keep his word. He will keep his promise. And you can count on it. I need to do one thing for you because people are going to say, how do you know Michael's the prince and the archangel of the waters? Well, let's get some documentation. You know, I always insist on documentation. Daniel chapter 12, please. And I must tell you, as we come up to find out and document Michael as the angel of the waters or of the people, Gabriel, in this book of Daniel, is mentioned in chapter 8, verse 16. I want you to note, when those two are put together, Gabriel and Michael, something's going to happen. But in 8:16, Gabriel talks to Daniel and said, hey, there's one coming that's going to use furious sentences and understanding of dark sayings, but he's going to conquer many by peace and prosperity. You know who that is. You know that's the Antichrist. Gabriel warning you. The Antichrist is coming. And then in chapter 9, verse 21, again, Gabriel gives you another warning. Gabriel explains the 70 weeks determined on our people. That comes down to the 69th week, if you have understanding, the gap period of when the false Christ stands in Jerusalem claiming to be our Heavenly Father. And the desolator brings the desolation upon those that are deceived. And so you have it. Now, document Michael. Okay, my God. The Michael, the angel. What does it say? Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There is your documentation. And again, well, how did I know people are waters? Well, you've never read Revelation 17:15, then, have you? The people are the waters. Who's the living water? Christ is. Okay. These things are used, and you must bring that truth forth in the simplicity in which Christ teaches, or you're going to be confused. Now, I want to remind you again, don't forget, Lord of Righteousness, there's a reason we're using that. I want you to remember the fact that they were singing that song because why? Because they really messed up the prophets. They really misled the people. So there is a place. God never gives us anything that he doesn't give a clear understanding. Whenever the Holy Spirit wants to, he's going to take you to it. And you're going to have great understanding. Turn with me this time to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Hey, he's not happy about it. False teachers and people that teach, well, and pastors will tell you, I've heard them. I can't teach God's word chapter by chapter. It's boring to the people. Why? Because they've got a boring teacher. That's why. Verse 2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Hey, payday's coming. Don't think anybody's getting away with anything that misleads God's children. Michael, that old angel of the people, is watching. Our Heavenly Father is watching. And time is running out. verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. You can count on it. If you will truly teach God's word, the ministry will be so fruitful you can't even keep up with it. You can hardly manage it because of God's blessings of bringing forth truth instead of lies and deception. Feed my people. That's what he insists on. Verse 4. I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. You don't have to worry about anything when you understand God's word. Why? He loves you. As we learned in this lecture this morning, he died for you. And what does he want from you? Burnt offerings? No. He wants your love. He wants you to understand his word, the letter he's written to you. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Has that happened yet? Of course not. But it's going to. Do you know when? Verse 6, in his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Liz, sharpen up for me. This is why we came here. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It is all in uppercase. Notice for emphasis. That's what Michael and that's what Gabriel were saying way back in Psalms and Revelation 16. He's coming. And he's not going to put up with this stuff anymore. He isn't now. If you'll take up the plow and plow. If you'll take up the planter and plant. Feed God's children. The Lord our righteous. That's why the name of this lecture is so. That's what Michael said. That's what Gabriel said. That's what you say. That's what God said. Well, what are they going to do? Well, do you think God left you warning? He's going to tell you. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's why that fourth seal is, fourth vial is so important. It doesn't have anything to do with Egypt. It has to do with now. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of his house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That's what he's going to be known for. The Lord our righteousness. Verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. The word that should be taught. The word that is holy and the only word that is holy is not what some preacher might say that is not quoting God's word, but his own feelings. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, that's idolaters, false teaching, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. If you don't have God's blessings in your ministry, you're sunk. He's not going to help you. And it will dry up. Don't ever wonder why you hear so many people say, our group is just drying up. The church is just going to pot. People are turning away from Christianity. No, people are turning to Christianity, true Christianity, the Word of God. If they don't teach it, naturally the people are going to turn away from it. Verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. They even have perverts ordained and supposedly teaching the word of what? I don't know, you guess. Verse 12, wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways, in the darkness they shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord, and it's soon. It's coming. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. That's the 10 northern tribes, the house of Israel. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Do you know what the word Baal being properly translated? Husband. They've taught the wrong husband. They're teaching our children to marry out of season and to wed the false Christ instead of the true Christ. Well, you might say, well, oh dear God, now a church wouldn't do that. Oh, they wouldn't? How many churches teach people to jump on the bandwagon of the first one that comes along and says, I've come to rapture you out of here? Do you know who that is? It's Satan. So what are they teaching? I do not judge anyone. But at least be wise enough to understand why our Father is so upset with them. He wants to be their husband. Ishai, he says in the Hebrew tongue. And here they come along with this. You don't have to study God's Word. You don't have to understand even the book of Revelation, which we've covered quite well today in part of it. Because you're going to be gone. Gone to hell if you're not careful. Our Father is not happy. And you can't blame Him. 14. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing. They commit adultery, that's idolatry, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them like unto Sodom, and in the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Look around you and listen to them. Okay. And see how their clergy will speak for itself. 19:15. Listen, sharpen up for me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, bitterness. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth unto all the land. And there you have that third seal brought forth right in this chapter. That wormwood, that bitterness. Why? Because the people are bitter. They don't understand when they could have the simplicity in which God teaches for the taking, for the understanding. Our Father's not happy. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of prophets and prophesy unto you that they make you vain. That's empty. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, when many might say, well, what do you mean then they're pouring blood out on the water? As Michael, the angel, archangel of the waters. Haven't you ever watched the news today? It seems like the more they can blow up innocent kids and mothers with car bombs, it makes the headline. 72 murdered in an open market. Another 70 here. South of the border, 72 murdered there. Blood everywhere. Why? Well, it's written. You might as well get set for it. You better lock on to the word of our Father and thank Him for the truth that He sends you. They say that's why that the archangel of the waters is unhappy of what's happening to the children. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. 18. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And speaking about blood on the people, twin towers, 3,000, bang. You know. What's it all mean? Well, it's God's prophecies coming to pass, and the enemy is evil and among us. 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. You don't have anything to worry about. The wicked have got it coming. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Why perfectly? Because it's coming to pass, because you are in the latter days. You're in the generation of the fig tree. Final generation. 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. It's peace. You don't have to worry. Everything's going to be fine. Well, how many people died today? How much blood was on the water? 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, they'd have listened, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. 23. Listen carefully. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Do you think he's not with us? That Holy Spirit rings when his word is taught. He is definitely with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Just try it, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I watch both. I watch where Michael and Gabriel are. And I watch here. I watch everything. I'm where I wish to be. I am that I am. 25. I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. 26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. God repeats it over and over so that it gets your attention. The wormwood, which is the bitterness, comes upon the people. You've never seen more bitterness than there is in the world today of people. And what are they really bitter over? Lies. Conception. Deception, rather. 27. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, and their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, for that fake husband, the fake wedding, lies. Satan, that's who it is, coming as the false Messiah. Hey, he's looked forward to play this role for a long time, and man, is he going to play it to the hilt. He's going to really make a splash among the people, and it's going to break your heart when you see many of your own relatives worshiping him, thinking, listening to the lies, and thinking he is our true husband when he's a fake. This is why God wants you to take note, Lord of righteousness, not wrongness. It's important that you're in the right camp, that you know and that you understand. Stay away from the wormwood. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? It's nothing. You teach God's word as it is written, he will bless you, and there is nothing those lies can do to you. They'll talk about you, but God will protect you. You will have that protection. 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? My word can take care of itself. It will carry its way. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. And naturally, God's letting you know, I didn't say it. They're lying to you. 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And that's the sad part, because there's a lot of people that are good, loving people. Many of them even on fixed income. Some of you might wonder why sometimes when I say, don't let somebody rip you off. Pay for your medicine and your groceries. Don't do without for some preacher. You know, if he can't, if he has to go around shaking down old people that don't have money, then God didn't send him. He's lying to you. And you know, a lot of people can't understand. A preacher said that? Well, I'm a teacher, not a preacher. But I have been accused of both, be that as it may. But it irritates me to see the clergy try to rip off our people falsely. If it's the real thing, well then fine, God bless them, but leave senior citizens alone that are really in hard straits. 33, and when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. God doesn't send burdens, Satan does. And it's a dangerous thing when a Christian says, well, I wonder what burden God's got for me today. Boy, are you going to get it. He doesn't send burdens. People burden themselves through their ignorance, through not appreciating, for one thing, what they've got, this great nation, to protect it with all you can stand for, to do everything you can to protect it, mainly vote and protect and pray for people that have to fight to keep it that way. It is a blessed thing. God does not send burdens. 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. This shall you say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother. What hath the Lord answered and said? What hath the Lord spoken? 36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden, for he hath perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts, our God. He's not happy about it when they do that. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? 38. But since you say the burden of the Lord, behold, thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord, because he doesn't send them. God loves you. He doesn't want you harmed. What do you think the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in the fiery furnace? God sent a burden? No, God protected them. And he will protect you. What is chaff to the true wheat of God's word? Nothing. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. Not those that believe him, but the fakes. They're not going to be with us very long. 40, to complete the chapter. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. You want me to tell you what something is really ironic about this? Father is pouring his heart out to you, nailing down the third wrath, the cup of wrath. Do you know what chapter 24 is about? It's about your generation. To jar you into it, to let you know. Read the first verse. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, the princes, even the carpenter's smiths. One basket very good, let me just tell it to you. One basket very bad. You are talking there about the foundation of the parable of the fig tree. Jeremiah 24 is where it's at. It lets you know that when Jerusalem would become a nation again, that's the final generation. Why isn't it wonderful that he gave us that 23rd chapter with understanding in relation to that third seal? Our Lord of righteousness. Stay in his camp. It's going to get to be smooth sailing for those that love him. But those that are away from him, those that will listen to lies, the rock can break, the hammer can break the rock, and God's word is that hammer. You keep it handy. Keep it close to your heart. It's the living word. It's His word. Gabriel and Michael, when they team up, you might remember Daniel chapter 10, when there was a war in heaven. I feel that that war is very near, if has not already begun. We're in a precious, wonderful time. And nobody knows the moment or the time, but you better remember these things and remember them well. We'll take up at Passover in the spring. We'll take this another peg. It's fascinating. It's wonderful. God bless you.
The Mark of the Beast.